all the stories and parables that Jesus ever told in the Gospels, the one about the Good Samaritan has to be one of the most well-known. Even people outside the church know the story of the Good Samaritan. As a matter of fact, there are hospitals and medical centers named after this guy all over the country, if not throughout the world. Even in Texas, Dallas has a Good Samaritan hospital. San Antonio has one. I think, what was the other place? Well, you know where they are. L.A. has one. New York City has some. Even India has a Good Samaritan hospital and medical center. There are charitable organizations and clubs and community centers named after him, and in some states and regions of the country and of the world, there are laws on the books named after the Good Samaritan. Laws meant to protect civilians from being sued for helping others that they believe have been injured or are in danger. Heck, most people who have never stepped foot in a church nor have cracked open a Bible knows about this guy, the Good Samaritan. The question is, why is that? How is that? Well, it's because the story of the Good Samaritan is one that we can all relate to. It's one that we're familiar and can identify with. You know, the story of a person gets robbed and beaten up, and two people passes by and doesn't offer to help, but a third person comes along and passes by, stops, tends to the injuries, and even goes to the extra mile of taking them into an inn to be treated and pays for all the medical expenses. So what's the moral of this story, of this parable? Well, one way to sum it up, in fact, I could just end my sermon here by simply saying, the moral is, be nice to people. Amen. That would have been nice. Now, what prompted Jesus to tell this story in the first place? We're told by Luke that on one occasion, a lawyer, not the kind of lawyer that you may be thinking about, you know, not the kind of Matlock or Perry Mason, or not the lawyers on Law and Order TV show that you're thinking of. No. In this sense, a lawyer, what the scripture tells us is a lawyer would be someone who studied and is an expert in all the laws given to Israel through Moses. All the laws in the Torah. All the laws recorded in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You know, all those laws that you read in there. Civil laws, religious laws, ritual laws, and even moral laws. A person who studied and who's an expert in those kind of laws are called, what scripture called or tells us, a lawyer. So according to Luke, one of these law experts tried to test Jesus one day to see if Jesus knew more than he did about God's laws for God's people. Now, we all know what the law expert asked Jesus, right? He wanted to know how or what he must do to inherit eternal life, how to live in God's kingdom forever. Now, friends, I will dare to say that you and I here, you and I know the answer to this question, right? The answer to what we must do to have eternal life. We know the answer to this question. The answer is that to inherit eternal life, we are to accept and believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, and He alone is the Lord and Savior of your life. That's the answer to the question of how can we inherit eternal life? The acceptance and belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the very Son of God. And because He is the Lord and Savior of our lives, we get to love God with every fiber of our being, 24/7, and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Do this and you will live, Jesus said in our gospel this morning. Now, it sounds pretty straightforward, right? But have you done it? Have you loved the Lord your God with every fiber of your being, of everything that you are and everything that you have? And have you loved your neighbors the way you love yourself? Have you done it? Can you even imagine what that would look like? Yet this twofold summary of the laws of God is more than impressive. It's virtually impossible to keep. Love God with all that I am and all that I have. Love my neighbor as I love myself. Is that ever really done? Can anyone really and actually accomplish such laws? And for starters, who is our neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Now, I'm sure that the law expert in Jesus' parable would be ready and be willing to say that his neighbors were his fellow law-abiding, synagogue-going Israelites. I'm sure that this law expert would have stated that to Jesus, that his neighbors are his friends, those who are like him, those who believe what he believes, those who follow the statements and the rules, and those who continue to live up the way he expects them to live. Now, ordinarily, and Cole, one of my confirmers, would know this. Ordinarily, by definition, I always define a neighbor as anyone who is not you. When you ask, who's my neighbor? It's anyone who's not you. That's the ordinary definition of a neighbor. But in this story, the one who helped, the one who came to the assistance of, the one who came to the aid of the injured man is the neighbor. Not just the one who helped people like himself or helped those who could help him back, but the one who did more than help. He took the entire burden upon himself for the sole purpose that another person would benefit. That's who a neighbor is. The one who gets to lend a helping hand to another. That's who a neighbor is. Now, when it comes to Jesus' parable, sometimes it's helpful to ask, where do I find myself in this story? So let's ask that. Who are you in this story of the Good Samaritan? Are you the person in the ditch who've been beaten and robbed and bloodied and who's left for dead? Is that you? Are you the one who is one of the thieves who did the beating and who did the robbing? Or maybe you're the priest who was too concerned about his schedules and who was conscious about preserving the purity laws in the books. In other words, priests weren't allowed to touch or much less be around people who are bleeding. Or perhaps you're the Levite who just following the party line and know that there are certain people that you just don't associate with. Or maybe you see yourself as the good Samaritan. Well, whichever one you find yourself to be in this story, the point of the parable is not just to encourage us to be good people, although that's important. But the point of the parable is to point out the fact that no matter how hard we try to love the Lord our God with every fiber of our being, and how much we try to love our neighbors as ourselves, the point of the story is that in reality, we'd fall short every time to meet God's standards, God's law. Therefore, we need to have a better Samaritan. In fact, a perfect Samaritan. Who is that? It's none other than Jesus of Nazareth, who, like the Samaritans of his day, he was ostracized, marginalized, looked down upon by the religious leaders. Jesus is the good Samaritan, the one who comes and takes action on behalf of those who are his enemies. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Christ came, befriended us, saved us, rescued us. Jesus is the one who spares no expense to provide for all our needs. The one who heals our wounds, forgives our sins, and saves our souls. Yes, Jesus is the good Samaritan. Jesus is the good neighbor. Jesus had every reason imaginable, every reason under the sun to pass on by our humanity, to walk on the other side and avoided having to go to the cross for our salvation. In fact, he came a lot further than just simply crossing the street. He came from heaven to earth, took our human flesh, placed himself under the exacting demands of God's law. And after living a perfect life that we could never live, he set his face toward the cross of Calvary for us, for you, and for me. See, Jesus didn't just tell the story of the Good Samaritan to just encourage people to be nice. Jesus told this story to show us that he himself lived it and still lives it for you. The good Samaritan, the good neighbor. See, the perfect love the law demands is the love that Christ has shown to you and me. This is why we're to love God with every fiber of our being, because he loved us first. This is why we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, because we have been loved by God who has set us free from sin and the powers of death, who had freed us from the burden of slavery of the law, so that we have all the time, we have all the freedom to be good neighbors to all those who are not us. So unlike the law expert's question, who is my neighbor? The proper question is, what kind of a neighbor do I get to be? We as Lutherans do not ask, who's my neighbor? We ask, what kind of neighbor do I get to be today? A good one, hopefully. A nice and kinder one, preferably. But one that reflects the goodness and mercy of God. Do I get to be a neighbor who shows love and forgiveness even to the person who doesn't deserve it? Do I get to be a neighbor who sees the need of the person next to me and my only thought is, how can I help? We are to ask, what kind of a neighbor do I get to be? Because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He chose to be a good neighbor. When Jesus ended his gospel lesson by saying, go and do likewise, this is Jesus sending his followers, sending us into the world with a love that that the world could never dream up. But a love that he's revealed in the gospel and given us fully and freely. So yes, be a good person. Be nice to people. Be a good Samaritan. Be a good neighbor. But even more, remember that you have a perfect Samaritan in Jesus of Nazareth, in the one who has loved you with an everlasting love, and the one who loves you to get and to share that love with everyone you meet. Amen.